Okay, turn with me tonight to the book of Numbers. We've been going through the book of Numbers and looking at some of the great passages, great situations, great truths that are found in the book of Numbers. And if you'll turn with me tonight to Numbers chapter number 32. Numbers chapter 32, look at the great truth of the reasons or the principles of equal commitment among the people of God, or full participation in the local church. Maybe that would be the right title, full participation in the local church. In Numbers 32, the setting is that people of Israel approached the promised land from the east. They went down to Eilat and came up alongside the west side of the Jordan, the east side of the Jordan Rift Valley, and now they're on the plains of Moab, and they have seen Sihon defeated and Og, king of Bashan, defeated. And all of that land has been occupied now by the Israelites, and Reuben and Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh now have gotten their inheritance on the east side of the River Jordan. And now, yet the rest of the land has to be conquered on the other side of Jordan. And so there's the situation. The tribe of Reuben and Gad are approaching Moses and saying, you know, we have cattle, and this is a great area for cattle and would be perfect for our families to stay here on the east side of the Jordan River. And so they approach Moses about that, verse 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And then when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Araroth and Dibon and Jazer and Numrah and Heshbon and Eleali and Shebam and Nebo and Beon, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up into the land of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he swore, saying, surely none of the men that came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all that generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people. And they came near unto him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward because of our inheritance is fallen to us on this side of Jordan. And Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord, until he hath driven out his enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord. Then afterwards ye shall return, and be guiltless before the Lord, and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Now that is a great text in the Bible, be sure your sin will find you out, because it is true. Your sin will find you out. You can't hide it. You can't pretend it isn't there. It has to be dealt with. And this is a great truth. But in this particular case, what was their sin that God said through Moses would find them out? What was the sin? It was the sin of non-participation. The sin of non-participation. And if they weren't going to help their brethren fight the battle, if they were going to not to give themselves to the rest of the camp to defeat the enemy, God says your sin's going to find you out. Your sin will find you out. Now, there are some principles here that we find of the need to have full participation or equal commitment of all the members of a church. Full commitment and full participation of every member of a church. Now, we find some very obvious things here. But you know, the Bible has this picture. Okay, your brethren are going to go to war and you're going to sit here. You're going to enjoy the benefits of this land that your brethren have helped you win, and you're going to sit here. It's not right. It's not right. Now, I think there's two principles involved. now, one of them doesn't start with an E, so it doesn't fit. But the rest, most of them, I'm trying to give you E's tonight. But the principle of equality. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 8:14. And really, these are principles of the blessing of God upon the people of God. And, you know, we pray for God's blessing, but there are principles of blessing that are very significant in the work of the Lord. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, this chapter is about offerings. This is about giving. This is about the churches of Macedonia in their poverty have given generously to the saints in Jerusalem who are under a great dearth or drought and need help. And the rich church at Corinth is doing nothing. And the Apostle Paul is rebuking them. The poverty-stricken churches were giving generously, and the rich churches weren't doing anything. And he's rebuking them. And and he talks about that. Verse 12, it says, now they had promised to do something, but they didn't do anything. It says, verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of this, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. You said you're going to do it, you haven't done anything. These people have nothing, and they gave themselves to the Lord, and the Lord used them tremendously. It says, verse 12, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to the man that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. The first principle, he says, with a willing mind. They were had a willing mind. They didn't have much, but because they had a willing mind, they God was able to use them. He says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now, this is a great principle in the Bible, this principle of equality. Now, that was the principle that was at stake here. Now, their brethren are going to have to go into danger. They're going to have to go in faith. They're going to have to fight a war. And you're going to sit here? You're going to sit here enjoying the blessings of having your inheritance, but they're going to have to go fight, and you're going to have to, and you're just going to sit. Now, there's a lot of applications here. But, you know, this is a great missionary text and a missionary giving text. And I think it goes on both ways. But, you know, the commitment of a missionary to go to a foreign field, live in a in danger, physical danger, live in a place that is in many cases very difficult to navigate, to live, to exist, to give up being with your family and your grandparents and et cetera, et cetera. In many ways, there's a great commitment there, a great commitment, maybe a great sacrifice. And the principle is the people back home should be equally committed, equally committed. They should be equally committed to the work of God at home as it takes for them to go. This kind of fits into there, but you know, one of the very important things for a missionary is that it is so important for a missionary to know that their church back home is doing their best to win souls. That they're doing their best to win souls. That they're doing their best to stand for what is right. They're doing their best to work hard to witness. You know, it's kind of like, yeah, we're supposed to go over here in foreign country and we're not necessarily welcome here. And we're supposed to, you know, work our bones off to try to win souls. And you guys just going to sit back there and enjoy the nice, pleasant time, Quantico Baptist Church, you know, and joy America, and don't do anything, don't do much for God. Whoa, man, you talk about discouraging. That's about as discouraging as you could get to someone who's given their life to serve the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, the Bible teaches there has to be, in the work of the Lord, there has to be equality. Equality. Now, what that means is there needs to be equal commitment among all the people of God. That's right. Equal commitment to the things of God. And this is an important principle, that there is an equality that is key to the blessing of God. It is key to the blessing of God. You know, God sees that. Now, of course, we know in 1 Corinthians, the Bible talks about that the church is a body. Now, ye are the body of Christ. And it tells us that when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And when one member is exalted, all the body is benefited by it. And it tells us, you know, that in order to function correctly, every part of your body needs to be functioning. Amen? Every part of your body needs to be functioning. You know, your gallbladder just can't decide, okay, I'm taking a vacation. And I don't care what happens to the rest of the body, I'm taking a vacation, I'm not going to do my job. Well, I'll tell you what, that's not very good, is it? And I guess the gallbladder isn't too good looking, but you know, it's pretty important. It's a principle of equality. Everything has to work. Everything has to function. Everything has to work equally in a commitment and in operation. And there needs to be this equality of sacrifice, of danger, of faith, of commitment. And so this is a very important principle found in the Bible. Now, this was a very key. Now, notice the principle of equality. Notice the principle of effect. And we already mentioned it, verse 6. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and ye shall not, and ye shall sit here? Principle of equality, verse 7. Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given thee? The effect, the importance of the effect of full participation. What happens? What is he saying? If you just say, okay, I'm not doing that, forget that. Guess what? That affects everybody. You know, in the Lord's work, someone is going to be real excited about doing something for God, and someone just throws cold water on it. What does that do? That just dampens the spirits of the people of God. You know, of course, that's it's human. It happens. But, you know, the effect of the lack of equal commitment or full participation. Now, that's a negative effect, discouragement. I remember there's a lot of discouraging things that happen in the work of God. But I remember when the Lord gave us the Mission House property, that was a big venture. And and a member of the church, an older person, who was, you know, young in the Lord, but they were here. And she said, Pastor, you'll never get a cemetery. You'll never get a cemetery. Boy, that was encouraging. That was so encouraging. You know, the Lord gave us a cemetery, but it sure would have been a lot better if instead of that person saying, "You'll never get a cemetery," it would have been a whole lot better if they said, "You know what? God can do miracles. Let's go for it." Amen? So notice in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 1, notice what it says here. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Acts chapter 2, and the Bible says, verse 44, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Notice the effect of full participation. The blessing of revival. The blessing of revival. Now, the other hand, it would be the scourge of discouragement versus the blessing of revival. And God looks down on heaven and he sees these things. He sees these things. And he responds to these things. And God gave them favor with the people. He gave them favor in the people. The people were drawn to the disciples. They were drawn to the message of Christ. Why? Because of the blessing of full participation. Now, that is what Moses was warning them about. It will not be good. You're going to discourage your brethren if you're deciding to sit over here and they're supposed to go to war. Now, so we have the effect of full participation. And you know, there are so many things that you can think about. Think about the cleaning list. Think about the cleaning list. Think about the nursery. Think about soul winning. Think about canvassing. You know, one of the best years we had in VBS, you know, I remember one particular year, Philip was on his internship, and he was really working at getting everybody involved in canvassing. And I believe it was that year that the Savalas we began to meet the Savalas. Whoa, you see, that's how it works. There was a participation in a very important part of the ministry. And God looks down on in favor with that. And so now we also see in Numbers this principle of what Moses said about the people of Israel when they came to Kirjath Jearim, and they refused to go into the land. They refused to fully follow the Lord and do the Lord's will. And really, that's really a part of it. It was God's plan that all of Israel be together and conquer the enemy. And but there is an enemy to full participation. There's always an enemy to the work of the Lord. We already saw that. It says, verse 9, and when they went up into the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. And we know they said, we're not going to do it. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time. That Lord's anger was kindled. You know, this is a very significant truth. Many times we don't realize that God has an opinion about things. And God responds to what the people of God do or don't do. You know, I just think that somehow we don't think that way. Many times we just don't think that way. Many times we're so consumed just with our own life and what we're going to do and what we're not going to do, we don't even think about what God thinks. But guess what? God thinks about things, and God has an opinion about things, and God reacts to things. And in this case, the Bible says God was angry. Whoa. God was angry. Is there such a thing as God being angry with the people of God? Yes, there is. Is there such a thing as God being angry with a Christian? Yes, there is such a thing. Is there such a thing that God would be angry at a lack of full participation? Now, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, they that gladly received his word were baptized the same day they were added unto them, and they continued steadfastly. That's those that were saved, baptized, joined the church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, partnership with the gospel. That's why they had revival. Partnership. You know, that's what a church is about. The gospel. The Great Commission. This church has got a primary purpose, and that is to win souls for Jesus Christ and disciple them and see them multiply their life and doing the same thing. That's the command. You know, so many guest preachers come to our church and that have gone all over the country, and they say, you know, I so appreciate they come to prayer meeting, and they say, you know what, that's such a refreshing to come to Quantico Baptist Church and have people pray, ask prayer for somebody they've been witnessing to. So they say, I go around and they go to prayer meetings, and they said 99% of the prayer, and it's legitimate, is for Uncle Joe and Aunt Martha and Grandma so-and-so and their health. And praise the Lord, you know, we need to be praying for that. But a conspicuous absence of prayer requests about people witnessing and who they've been witnessing to. Well, the partnership of the New Testament church is winning souls to Christ. Amen? And, you know, some people aren't participating in that. Well, that's not good. That's not good. And we'll get back to it a little bit. But, and every one of us need to think about that. But the Lord's anger was kindled against them. Now notice Acts chapter 5. This kind of puts it in perspective here. Acts Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed, this is full participation, were of one heart and of one soul. Neither had any of them, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. No, so they were of one heart and one soul. They said, we're in this together. We're in this to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the most important thing happening on the earth, is the announcement of the gospel, seeing people saved, doing the work of the local church. And the Bible says in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Notice this full participation, the blessing, the power of God upon the church. And the Bible tells us that neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And I think the big picture is bigger than what we know, because when they got saved, and you know how tight-knit a Jewish family is, can you imagine what happened to when those people got saved? They lost everything, some of them. They lost everything. They lost their inheritance. They, you name it. And so the church pulled together because they're all in it together. And the Bible tells us, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession, and they kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So it seemed like they were doing something pretty good. But guess what? Their spirit was not the same as the spirit of the rest of the church. Their spirit was completely different. They wanted the applause of the church, of the apostles, and I don't know what else they wanted. They wanted to pretend they were doing something great for God, but they were not a part of that one heart and that one soul. They were selfish in comparison to the full participation of the rest of the church. They were selfish. They were watching out for themselves. They didn't have the faith to trust God to give it all. They're going to make sure they took care of themselves. And guess what? This was an enemy. This was an enemy. It was an enemy to the spirit of sacrifice. It was an enemy of the unity of the church. It was the enemy of them all giving their hearts equally to the things of God. It was an enemy. It was the devil was working. And we find out the devil was working. It's all about the devil. And verse 3, but Ananias said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie? The devil was behind this. The devil wanted to destroy the unity of the church. The devil wanted to destroy the blessing of full participation and the blessing of God and the power of God. And he found somebody that wanted to be selfish. And Ananias and Sapphira, they were the ones. They wanted the glory. They wanted to pretend like they were in full participation, but actually they weren't. is probably a combination of pride and selfishness. And the Bible says that Satan had filled their heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price. And he says, while it remained, was it not your own? You could have done it with it whatever you wanted. And when it was sold, was it in thy own power? You could do with it whatever you wanted. But to pretend to give it all and to pretend that you're being fully participant, it says, Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came all upon them that heard these tidings. Now, this is not part of the sermon, but I want us to look on. And the young men arose, wound them up, and carried them out, and buried them. This pretty serious thing when God had to strike them dead. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much or not. Did you really sell the land for this amount of money that you gave? Or did you not sell it for that amount of money? And she said, yeah, we sold for that amount of money we gave. And Peter said, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came and found her dead and carried her forth and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Now this problem is solved. But notice, this isn't a part of the sermon, but notice this. There was a secret between Ananias and Sapphira. And when she came in, and Sapphira came in, she didn't know her husband had died. And so they said, now, Sapphira, did you really sell that money? Now, she's in a big, bad spot, isn't she? Really bad spot, because she's thinking, if I tell the truth, I'm telling on my husband. Right? I'm telling on my husband. And so she had a double whammy on her. She had the double whammy of a secret with her husband plus a lie to God. That's why don't have bad friends. Don't have bad friends. Because when you get in a jam, you'll stand up for your friend instead of getting right with God. And it's a curse on your soul. It's bad, and it's hard enough just to do right. Amen? But when you got wrong friend and you're thinking about that friend, you're going to cover up for that friend, and you're going to put yourself in double trouble. Isn't that right? And we learn that from this very thing. But there was the enemy, and the enemy was selfishness. And it was just the same thing with Moses warning the people. He says, you start thinking about yourself. Oh, we don't want to go over there. We want to stay here. Want to take it easy. We don't want to put ourselves in danger. He says, you're just like the people of Israel that God had to curse into the desert. They said, whoa, we can't obey God. We're going to watch out for our wives. We're going to watch out for our kids. We can't obey God. You know, that was, guess what? They were just being selfish. That's their problem. They were being selfish. And and they suffered the consequences. And so this whole thing is a pretty serious thing, isn't it? Pretty serious thing. We don't think of it as very serious. But you know, when you study the New Testament, you find out that it was the key to one of the keys to the blessing of God's work. Now, you know, we live in a day of independence. We live in a day in which everybody relishes the fact that they are independent. But you know, this whole idea of full participation, God is saying that, you know, the key is that you can independently decide to do right, and it will bring a blessing to everyone. Don't use your spirit of independence to do wrong and to be obstinate. Use your independence, your individuality, use your will to submit to the Lord and to do the work of God as we ought to do. Now, there's one part of this that, as I was thinking about this, that doesn't start with an E, and I'm not sure how it fits in, but I thought about the spirit of appreciation was lacking. Now, think of the picture here. All of Israel was united, and they defeated Sihon and Og and all this territory. And now, they got the benefits of it. And Moses is warning him, now don't go, don't stay back here. You better go to war with your brothers, because you know they helped you win. You better help them win. You understand the principle? They helped you win, so now you help them win. Now, the thought that came to my mind is that, you know, every one of us are reaping the benefits in some way or the other of what other people have done. Every one of us are reaping the benefits of what other people have done. And that's a real problem today, as, you know, I have a short memory, so I love reading This Day in Baptist History for our family devotions. And we're still on book one after 5 or 6 years, you know, reading the same things over and over. But I just love reading it. But I keep reading about the sacrifice of our forefathers right here in America. All the preachers that went to jail because they wouldn't pay the state church tax. All the preachers in Virginia that got thrown in jail because they wouldn't take a license from the Church of England. And they were witnessing, and et cetera, et cetera. And how the Puritans threatened and persecuted the Baptist, and what a price they paid. And you know, we have freedom today because somebody paid a price. Somebody paid a price. And you know, somehow we don't realize, we don't think about that. They did something for us. We should be able to be willing to risk a little bit ourselves. Amen? We should be willing to risk a little bit ourselves. You know, I know this is kind of a broad brush here, but the fact is, as I see what's happening on the international scene with the totalitarianism of the Democrats, of places like San Francisco, where you can only have one person in a church at a time. And you see all this evil taking place, whether you understand what these things are not, and there's a lot of unknown things. But, you know, I see that, you know, if anybody's going to stand up for what render under God, what is due God, I think the pastor should do that. He should stand up. I don't want to be like the preachers in Nazi Germany who didn't stand up. They let it happen. You know, I realize that there's a lot of questions about some of these issues. But someone needs to stand up and say, you know, the globalist agenda, the whole agenda of the coming Antichrist, it's all coming together. It's all coming together. And there ought to be somebody who says, wait a minute, wait a minute. Now, let's go on a different subject. You know, how'd this building get here? How'd this building get here? Who bought this land? How'd that happen? You know, some rich guy just came down the road and gave him a few million dollars. You know, no, that's not how it happened, is it? You know how it happened? There's a bunch of guys who sometimes had work nights four nights a week. Had soul winning. Had Wednesday night. Had Sunday services all day. They sacrificed to make it possible. They sacrificed. And they had big families and they sacrificed money. Sacrifice time. You know, we should appreciate what many of those men aren't here, but we still should appreciate people like that. And, you know, we should have the same spirit of sacrifice that they did. Amen? We should have the same spirit of sacrifice. You know, when we have one measly little work night, or, you know, one little or maybe two little measly log splitting days, and, you know, just a few people show up, something's missing. You know what I'm saying? That spirit of sacrifice is lost. The spirit of, hey, we got to make it happen. The commitment. That was a little bit about like them saying, okay, we got the blessing. Now you go take care of your own. The spirit of appreciation. But what's the conclusion of the whole matter? He said, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. You know, it is impossible to make people fully participate. You know, that's not my job. I'm not a policeman. It's impossible to make that happen. And you can't force anybody to do anything. You know what I'm saying? It's got to come from your heart. It's got to be what you've given yourself to. But Moses gave a real warning here. The back seat, I don't mean that literally, but you know, the pew sitter who's not going to give themselves to the work of God. They think they're going to coast on other people's work. Guess what? The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. It'll come back to get you. It'll come back to get you. It'll get you spiritually. It might get you with your family. It will get you. That's what he's saying. You can't be one of those kind of people, and I know I'm just rambling here, but you know, when we first started our church, it's just like any other place. How many churches have Sunday night? You know what I'm saying? How many churches have Sunday school? How many churches have a real prayer meeting? Well, it's the same thing in Africa, you know. You try to start a real church in Africa, and they says, nobody has Sunday night service. You know what I'm saying? Our missionaries know that. Nobody in Africa has Sunday night services. Why should we have Sunday night services, you know? And so Mrs. Range can attest to this. I used to say often, you know, when you come to a church service, you're voting for that church service. And when you don't come, you're voting for that church service to end. I remember talking to this friend of our family. She was at that point about 85, and she was telling me, you know, our church used to have Wednesday night prayer meeting. That was a Presbyterian church. We used to have prayer meeting. And I says, you did? Well, how come you stopped it? Well, people stopped coming. Huh. That's simple, right? You know, you don't want to have Sunday school. You don't believe in Sunday school. Don't come. Don't come. You know, you don't believe in having a Sunday night service where something's going to happen for God. You know, don't come. You know, you'll vote for its non-existence, and church, pretty soon the church will be new evangelical, compromising, doing anything they can to get somebody to come. You know what I'm saying? But on the other hand, full participation brings blessing, brings revival, brings the power of God, accomplishes something for God's work, and it gets done. And so the blessings, the reasons for full participation in the local church right here in the book of Numbers. And each one of us need to be encouraged to do that, and to be conscious of the fact that we have an effect on other people. You know, I used to give this illustration. What if you came to church? What if you came to church here? And let's see, who can I pick on that never misses? Okay, well, what if you came to church and Al Griffin wasn't here? I used to be able to use Joel Raines, but he's in heaven now. What would you do? And you came to church, and Al Griffin was here. And you'd say, where's Al? Oh, he just didn't feel like coming to church today. You know what? That would just pull the rug right under your feet, wouldn't it? What do you think, Jason? Yeah. What if Paul, Paul wasn't at church? He says, where's Paul? Oh, he went golfing today. Can you imagine what that would do to your soul? That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? Yeah. The lessons of full participation are very significant in the work of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the great Word of God and for these principles that we look at tonight. And Lord, a very serious passage of Scripture that thousands of sermons have been preached on. Be sure your sin will find you out. But Lord, we realize that the sin that's specifically talking about, the sin of non-participation. And Lord, we can become selfish and we can become self-centered, and we can be focused on ourselves and forget the blessings of everything that everybody else has been used of God to do in our lives, and we can become self-focused and do our own thing. And Lord, it's not good for our souls, and it's not good for the work of God. And it doesn't please you. So Lord, use the word of God tonight to help us to see that, Lord, the blessing is in full participation. When all of God's people are in the services, all the services, when all God's people do whatever they can to be a part of whatever is going on, whether it is the sending of the missionaries or doing the work around the church or soul winning. Help us, Lord, to think of us as a church, as a unit, as a body that needs to fully function. And Lord, bring conviction and repentance. If there would be anyone who is obstinate and selfish and doesn't care about the effect on others, Lord, I pray that you would mercifully help them submit to you. Now, Lord, we thank you for your blessing. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're here, maybe you're a young person, and you're coasting on the laurels of what a lot of other people have done, but you aren't excited as a young person about doing God's work. You aren't excited about doing whatever you can to make the work of God go forward. And thank God that there were young people that preceded you that did. And maybe God is speaking to you tonight about the fact that you need to get sold out to Jesus Christ and not live for yourself. Maybe you're here tonight and you just say, you know, praise the Lord for the sacrifice of people in the past. And I don't want to do less than that. And God is speaking tonight about just committing yourself to give yourself 100% to do the work of God. Maybe some of us just need to be encouraged to get back to being all we ought to be for God. The Lord is speaking to you tonight, and you say, I know God spoke to my heart tonight. Thank God you let him. And there's a decision that he wants you to make. I don't know what it is, but it's important that you make. And you say, right now, you need to submit to the Lord. And you say, yes, Lord. And you'd raise your hand and indicate that you've let God work in your heart. And just say, Pastor, pray for me. I made a decision tonight for the Lord. Anyone here tonight? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Good. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about the fact that you need to get saved. Thank the Lord that you had the opportunity of hearing the gospel. There's multitudes of people who haven't. But God in his goodness has allowed you to hear the gospel, and you need to be saved. You say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. Maybe your child here needs to be saved. Others. Okay, I see that little hand. All right, another. Another. Okay, praise the Lord. Others. Okay, praise the Lord. Lord, now work in hearts and lives. And Lord, we know there's no insignificant decision. And Lord, I pray that you'll just draw even these little children as well as adults to Christ. And Lord, might you bless decisions made tonight about specific things. But bring us that spirit, Lord, of full participation. And help us win the battle against Satan, against our old nature, and against all the forces of this world. Help us, Lord, to be what we ought to be for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.